I came to Montreal expecting to see a lot more anger because there were 1.2 million cluster bombs dropped on Lebanon. 1.2 million cluster bombs dropped on Lebanon, and the prime minister, or the so-called prime minister of this country, called that a measured response. Not only do we need to be angry, and even though they made their ceasefire and all the deals have been made, not only do we need to be angry, we need to be in the streets, and we need to say that this is the last time Israel is going to do this. Now, we have congratulated ourselves today and said that we were out on the streets and that we did a lot of work this summer. I have yet to hear congratulations to the Lebanese resistance for everything they did this summer. The Lebanese resistance that gave us back a bit of our dignity that we have been losing consistently under Israeli apartheid. We congratulate them and we thank them for their victory this summer. I wanted to start by a poem for Mahmoud Darwish that I think says it all for most of us Palestinians and Lebanese. Gentlemen, you have transformed our country into a graveyard. You have planted bullets in our heads and organized massacres. Gentlemen, you have transformed our country into a graveyard. You have planted bullets in our heads and organized massacres. Gentlemen, nothing passes like that without a count. Nothing passes like that without a count. All that you have done, all you have done to our people, is registered in notebooks. I wanted to start with this piece by Palestinian poet Mahmoud Darwish just to stress that for us Palestinians and Lebanese, Israeli aggression is registered in bullets, bulldozed homes, and maimed bodies. Understanding it, analyzing it, and most importantly, fighting it is not a choice for us. It is not a choice that we make. It is a reality that we live day in and day out. We understand it on our bodies. But most importantly, we resist it. Whether in our refugee camps, in our ghettos, or in our Bantustans. What happened in Lebanon this summer is proof that peoples don't surrender no matter what military might is used against them. People don't surrender no matter what US-made, Canada-supported planes and bombs are dropped on them. What is happening in the Gaza Strip today is proof that the might of the Israeli military, backed by the world's powers, can break bones, it can starve us, it can imprison us, but does not and will not ever break us. But of course, I also want to stress that, you know, we're always told in Canada that Canada is a peaceful country, a benign country. So let us first and foremost acknowledge, and I want to acknowledge as an indigenous Palestinian whose land is stolen, that we are standing on stolen land right now. And if we want to understand anything about Canadian support for Israeli apartheid, we first must understand what is happening at Six Nations right now. The Six Nations reclamation is happening, and it is up to us Palestinians and Lebanese to be there supporting the indigenous on this land to reclaim it before anyone is supposed to be supporting us back there in Palestine or in Lebanon. So if anyone here hasn't gone to Six Nations yet, you get yourself in a car and you go to Six Nations, you take a Lebanese flag, you take a Palestinian flag, and you tell the indigenous of this land that we stand with them. I keep using the term Israeli apartheid, and I want to explain why I keep saying Israeli apartheid. We have to understand Israel as an apartheid state. What happened this summer wasn't the first time Israel has been the aggressor. Israel has been an aggressor since its inception in 1948, when it threw out the majority of the indigenous population. I'm a Palestinian refugee, third-generation refugee to Lebanon, meaning my grandparents were kicked out of Haifa, meaning I grew up a refugee in Lebanon. So this summer, Lebanon was bombing my home for the second and third time. Israel has been a racist, terrorist, apartheid state since its inception. It didn't start this summer, and unless we understand this history, we're going to keep going out into rallies every time Israel is bombing us and keep coming back and back again without understanding the reality and the history, that we are fighting a racist apartheid state. Why do I call Israel apartheid? Few very obvious reasons. One, because it practices apartheid against the Palestinian population in three different forms. The most clear form, the first one, is inside the occupied territories, where it is building a massive apartheid wall, where there are different laws for Palestinians and non-Palestinians, where there are checkpoints for Palestinians, where there are 10,000 Palestinian Arab political prisoners being held hostages. And I want to stress this point because they've driven us crazy with their three prisoners that were taken, with their three hostages that were taken, and not once do they mention that they have 10,000 of our men, women, and children behind their apartheid bars. So if anybody wants to bring up the three soldiers, let them free our 10,000 Palestinian prisoners, let them free the Palestinian and Arab prisoners, and then we can start discussing their prisoners. The second type of apartheid that Israel practices, Israel that calls itself a democracy, is against the Palestinian citizens of Israel itself. Palestinian so-called citizens of Israel that Israel's always telling us how they're treated fairly are treated as second and third class citizens. Here we're not talking about the occupied territories, we are speaking about Israel proper and all its discriminatory laws against the Palestinians that live there. And third, and most important, the one that shows the true apartheid character of Israel is the issue of Palestinian refugees. We are not allowed to return to our homes. When Israel bombs Lebanon, there are Palestinian refugees still rotting in refugee camps in Lebanon. We are not allowed to return to our homes. And this is because of Israeli apartheid, because Israel wants to maintain its so-called Jewish character, i.e., its apartheid character. Now, if any South African stood here and told us, you know, we want to maintain the white character of South Africa, everybody would probably laugh and then spit and then leave. But when Israelis sit and argue that they want to maintain the Jewish character, everybody accepts that as a given. Well, that is a racist character. Building a state on the basis of one religion is racist. There is no reason on the face of the planet why I, as a Palestinian, should not be allowed to return to my homeland. And that is the core of Israeli apartheid. So until every last Palestinian refugee returns, and I don't mean returns to the few Bantustans and cantons that they want to give us and they want to call a state. I mean return to our homes and lands from which we were displaced in 1948. Until every last one refugee has the right to return, there will not be peace. There will not be peace. And the only way there will be peace is if there is justice for all us refugees that are not allowed to return to our homes. So what I want to tackle today is this widespread myth that Canada, in contrast to the US, plays a neutral and peaceful role in the Middle East. Nothing could be further from the truth. Canada is central to maintaining the US occupation of Iraq and the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land. Dismantling these occupations means tackling Canadian government and business complicity in these oppressive regimes. Today in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, we see the deliberate starvation of the population. This is a war crime that is now openly embraced by the US, Canada, and the European Union. Western governments have cut all aid to the Palestinian Authority and allowed Israel to continue its program of slow strangulation. Canada, to its shame, was the first country to cut aid to the Palestinian Authority. Effectively, they are starving the Palestinian people. And why are we being starved? Guess what? We dared to go and elect our government democratically. They go around telling us, why don't you be democratic? You Arabs seem to have no democratic values. Don't you understand democracy? Just go and vote. And when we go to vote, what do? They starve us because we didn't vote for who they wanted us to vote for. The Canadian state has been one of Zionism's greatest supporters since the inception of the Zionist state. To begin with, one has to only look at the support for Israel that cuts across the entire Canadian political spectrum. And to start with those who like to call themselves progressives, the NDP, some NDP members actually belong to the Canada-Israel interparliamentary group, including Alexa, who in an exchange with the Montreal Planet justified her membership in the group by claiming that it would allow her to dialogue with progressive Canadian Israelis. Maybe she needs to dialogue with some progressive Palestinians so they can tell her she is full of... Prime Minister Paul Martin gave a strong and unequivocal endorsement of Israel. Israel's values are Canada's values, Martin said. I wonder which values he is speaking about, because if he's speaking about the values that allow him to occupy Six Nations land, then yes, they are shared values. And I won't even go into what Harper said during the war and the support he gave Israeli apartheid during the war. The support on the political level is, of course, manifested on every economic level as well. The ties between Canadian corporations and apartheid Israel could not be more clear. Canadian companies are directly support the manufacture of Israeli military hardware. And here's one example. Israel Aircraft Industries is Israel's largest industrial employer and biggest exporter. Its main area of work is the manufacture of military aircraft and equipment. A representative of the Israeli Ministry of Defense actually sits on the company's board. Canadian companies are key suppliers to IAI. Nortel, NMF Canada, and Ingenuity are just some of the Canadian companies that directly support and deal with IAI. In doing so, they directly benefit and profit from Israel's brutal policy in the Middle East. Canadian corporations are making billions of dollars in profit from Israel's dispossession of Palestinians. The Canadian Highway Infrastructure Corporation, for example, is the leading company in the construction of a massive 86-kilometer highway called the Trans-Israel Highway. This highway is designed specifically to facilitate traffic between illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank and Israeli coastal cities such as Tel Aviv. In doing so, this Canadian company is aiding the expansion of Israeli settlements on occupied land and directly supporting Israeli annexation of Palestinian villages and towns. Furthermore, the Jewish National Fund is an integral part of Zionist apartheid, and it operates as a charity in Canada. What does the Jewish National Fund do? The Jewish National Fund plants trees on destroyed Palestinian villages so they could claim that we Palestinians never existed on our land in the first place. For example, the JNF is responsible for planting Canada Park. By the way, it's called Canada Park because Canadians support and pay money to have trees planted in this park. This park is built on the ruins of Imwas, Yalu, and Beit Nuba in the Latrun area, which was this was directly funded by the Canadian government in the form of tax refunds to Canadian donors. So we are talking about Canadians planting trees in their names on stolen Palestinian land so they could claim that Palestinian refugees from that area, A, never existed, and B, should never be allowed to return. And this happens openly in Canada. Canada also carries on full economic relations with Israel, full not in the sense that it carries it with Spain or China, but full in the sense that Canada has a free trade agreement with Israel that benefits the Israeli apartheid economy with billions of dollars. The only Canadian free trade agreement outside of the Western Hemisphere is with Israel. Now that is one tight connection for apartheid. Canadian big business and their government are absolutely central to the function of Israeli apartheid. And we are here. We are here in Canada. These companies are here in Canada. So we could sit and we could say, you know, our communities are not mobilized. What should we be doing? We don't have clear targets. But the targets are all around us here in Canada. And we can't just stand up and sing songs and go to demonstrations and wave our flags. We need to be working consistently, or Israeli apartheid will continue. It's not just something that happened in this summer. It can happen again at any time. We don't know when Israel is going to be bombing our homes and towns and villages again. So we can't just pack up our bags, get out of the streets, and stop working. Israeli apartheid continues, so we must continue to fight it. I wanted to stress here the anti-apartheid movement that is growing around the world. There is much hope in our struggle. Much of it stems from the Palestinian and the Lebanese people's refusal to submit. In Toronto specifically, a very confident and growing movement that is there is a movement that's growing and challenging Israeli apartheid. Individuals and organizations the world over have embraced the call issued by 170 Palestinian groups in July of 2005 for a global campaign of boycotts, divestments, and sanctions against the Israeli state. I want to stress that this call came from Palestine. 170 Palestinian organizations are asking us for a campaign of boycotts, divestments, and sanctions as a way to stand in solidarity with them. People used to complain, you know, there's no ANC in Palestine, nobody's giving us direction, no one is telling us what to do. Well, here you have it. There are 170 Palestinian organizations asking you to engage in boycotts, divestments, and sanctions. This call has inspired a divestment resolutions on campuses and in unions and churches across North America. On a daily basis, there are reports of initiatives to boycott academic and cultural ties with Israel. This is an inspiring campaign reminiscent of the grassroots anti-apartheid movements to isolate South Africa. This is a movement that we all need to join and support. The demands are quite simple. An immediate halt to all political, academic, cultural, and financial ties with Israel until the dismantlement of apartheid. At the center of this campaign is the demand that Palestinian refugees have the right to return to the lands and homes from which we were expelled 58 years ago. And I'm really happy to announce for the first time in Montreal that there will be a conference calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions happening in Toronto from October 6th to October 8th. This is the first time in North America that there's a campaign specifically calling Israel apartheid and specifically calling for boycotts, divestments, and sanctions. The head of COSATU, which is the Congress of South African Trade Unions, which was the backbone of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, Willie Madisha, will be coming to speak at this conference. It's his first appearance after being elected president for a second time. He will be coming to speak at this conference to explain to the labor movement and everyone here how Israeli apartheid is similar, if not exactly equivalent, to South African apartheid. People are flying all the way from South Africa to come out here and support them, and I want to invite everybody in Montreal to get in their cars, get on their buses, and please come to this conference so we can start building a BDS movement, so we can start working together collectively on a campaign that will push us forward so we can all work together. Let's stop with our scattered efforts all across the board. Let's make sure what happened this summer never happens again. And let's work on a boycott campaign. So please come out to this conference. There are posters all around, and there are flyers out there. It's going to be October 6th to 8th, and I really want to encourage everyone to come. And I want to stress, just in closing, that the Palestinian movement is part of a much broader anti-imperialist struggle, and it cannot be built in isolation from other movements within North America. Israel's apartheid character is reinforced through its role in maintaining U.S. hegemony in the Middle East region. For this reason, the dispossession of the Palestinian people is ultimately linked to the fate of U.S. imperialism and Canadian imperialism, and ultimately, that is what we are fighting. We are fighting colonization on this land, and we are fighting colonization in Palestine, and there is no doubt in my mind, not a single shred of doubt, that we will end Israeli apartheid. And if the resistance and the steadfastness that took place in Lebanon this summer, if we have just a quarter of an inch of the dignity, solidarity, and steadfastness of the Lebanese resistance, that what we need to do here is to build a campaign and to work hard to make sure that whatever efforts are taken over here are over there are doubled over here, that we really stand in serious solidarity, we build a boycott and divestments campaign, and we work really hard to attain it. Because Israeli apartheid will fall. It will fall. We just need to work really hard to make it fall. So let's work. Thank you.